said that. We thought possibly to protect you and protect us. Let's just do that, so that you also not seem to be violating your legislation. So as you've seen the letter, we'll introduce ourselves and then we can start the meeting for the purpose of the recording. I'm Advocate Busisiwe Mkhwebane, the Public Protector South Africa.
I am
the Chief of Staff at the Public Protector Office.
Onetsego Mogaladi, Executive Manager responsible for Administrative Justice and Good Governance Investigations.
Rodney Matabo, I'm the Chief Investigator in the Good Governance and Integrity Branch.
Efraim Gabide, the PA in the Private Office of the Public Protector.
I'm Atka J. Gunther, and we are to the Inspector General.
Okay. Thank you so much for your introductions. We are investigating this matter which we received from the EFF. I think a letter we sent to you was giving you the background. And as you would know that the Public Protector is a constitutional institution, we investigate in terms of the constitution and we may investigate any conduct. And as well, the constitution is very clear that any organ of state or any person must assist the Public Protector in the investigation, especially section 1, especially the chapter 9 institution. So in this particular instance, we've got this complaint against Minister Kogan, and it was relating to the operations of that SARS alleged rogue unit, and we received information that the then Inspector General, the late Ambassador Fatele, investigated this, and the findings were as captured in the report. And I must indicate that we received the information that the report was conducted, and the report made several recommendations against the involved parties. So, as the Public Protector, again going back to the issue that any organ of state should assist us to investigate, so we didn't want to rely on the report which was just dropped in our reception area, and I was surprised that whoever had that report shouldn't have the report, because it's a very it's a document which is classified. But unfortunately, that report is there, and I've seen the report on Newsweek last week. Now, the organ of state, which is supposed to help me, is informing me to get the report from the minister. Though we've also written something at the minister, I think, whether we'll receive the DG or what, so that we can get this report from our side, we can make sure that we finalize this matter. So that's the purpose, and again, yes, I've seen the provisions of your legislation, the Oversight Act, which you've mentioned in your response letter, that the report is with the minister. But then, I would have expected that possibly you would have just requested the report, because that report, yes, you've done it for the minister, but then on our behalf, because we have a letter which requests that report so that we can proceed with the investigation. So basically, we would appreciate your side of the story, Doctor, yes, and on how you can help us in this matter.
Okay. Thank you very much, Advocate. Yes, indeed, and maybe let me just preface my short presentation on this matter by saying that our attitude as the office is that we are getting increasingly frustrated by the way our faculty legislation is phrased and written, because what it says is that we cannot even assist our sister departments. Now you cannot have like an organ of state or an institution of state that is being given budget, you know, and all the other resources to do this work, but when it comes to how are you able to assist the others, that the same legislation makes it almost impossible, because that's exactly where we are sitting. But we respect this office, and that is the reason why we agreed, myself and the legal advisor and my ex-co, to say that let's come here and actually explain this legal quagmire. This is a legal quagmire. And I know that in our previous engagements, you would have said that you can also have an influence on ensuring that, in fact, there is synergy between these particular legislations. We are sitting with that frustration, advocate. In fact, just a few examples. We've been approached by the Zondo Commission, and they actually also wanted to depend on us as an archive that could assist them. We could not assist them. We've been approached by the former leadership of the SSA, who could not, in fact, trace the documents at the State Security Agency themselves, Dr. Mosheikh, Mr. Matre Tuka, and Mr. Gibson Jenje. They've approached us. We are able to assist them, other than just influencing the other organizations to actually assist them. We've been approached by Advocate Bauer of the Mokoro Commission also, because we have information, a lot of information, and investigations conducted on Advocate Chiba as well as Advocate Mokwebi. We are unable to actually assist as far as that is concerned. Now, we looked at also the provision of the legislation, which said that unless there is a just cause why we are not able to actually report or give you that particular report. But maybe, Jay, I should also indicate before I give you a space to just unravel that difficulty, to say that I don't see this really as a brick wall. I think that it's a hurdle that we can go through as well as we are able to communicate, because the provision that she's going to explain, the disclosure provision, you can see that it's going to require a lot of time, because there's a lot of red tape that is actually involved there. But we want to assist this office, and I think that if we are given sufficient time, we will be able to go back and, for instance, write to the president and to the minister of the district this time to actually advise them or consult with them that I will be releasing that particular report to yourselves. So it's not like a complete report. It's one of the time that was given to us, we wouldn't have achieved what we actually wanted to do. And I think that again it will defeat the purpose. Why are we going to refuse to give you the report when we are aware that the report is actually in the public domain? That was not the only issue. We also realized that even your complainant, we suspect that they could be in possession of that report, but then they are unable to give it to yourself, you know, officially and all those other things. So this process, your request is more about just legitimizing whatever is in place. So whether we refuse or we give, the report is there. That's what we are aware of. But can the advocate just explain quickly our disclosures provision and also our difficulty in this particular matter?
Thank you, Ajay. PP. Look, where we're standing now, we have several limitations with regard to how we deal with our mandate and the handling of the subsequent reports. In this particular matter, on the 26th of August 2014, we received a tasking from the then Minister of State Security in terms of Section 770C of the Oversight Act to say that we must investigate. Not SARS, because we don't have a mandate over SARS. The tasking was us to investigate media allegations against the Special Operations Unit and other branches within the State Security Agency. The precursor to that is around that time in July, there were numerous newspaper articles in the City Press and Sunday Times which spoke about the SARS Rogue Unit and tied it in with activities within the Special Operations Branch of the State Security Agency. So on that basis we were tasked. We commenced with the investigation, and during the investigation we found it necessary that we would have to interview persons within SARS to be able to connect the dots, because only dealing with special ops of SSA would not have actually addressed the terms of reference given to us by the Minister of State Security. But we finalized the report on the 31st of October 2014, but we qualified the report and made it very clear at the outset that we do not have a mandate over SARS. However, in order for us to be able to investigate this matter, we had to deal with certain happenings or instances or what was going on at SARS as well. But we made that qualification because we didn't want to be accused of the report being ultra vires because of our mandate, not including SARS. The report, it wasn't a lengthy report. There was a lot of pressure on us to finalize that matter, which we did. And in terms of Section 77F of the Oversight Act, we then provided the report to the Minister of State Security. And the Act makes it very clear in that regard. So, and based on that, the report is now in the custodianship of the Minister because it came as a tasking from the Minister. Subsequent to that, we received numerous requests from NGOs, the media, etc., for the release of this report. And we have referred all of them to the Minister of State Security. Now, as the IG had indicated, the first limitation is that the report then goes to the Minister of State Security. In terms of Section 78A of the legislation, of the Oversight Act, it makes it very clear that the IG can demand information from any of the intelligence services, which is basically Defence Intelligence, Crime Intelligence of the Police, and the State Security Agency. And should they refuse to provide the IG with that information, it's made a punishable offence in terms of Section 7 caps A of the Oversight Act. So they have no choice but to provide us with that information. Then 78B, and this is what the Inspector General was talking about, provides us with powers of disclosure. But they have stringent conditions attached to 78B. It says that in order for the IG to disclose information, now, and it refers to information we access through 78A, which we did in this regard. In most of our work, we access information through 78A. In order for the IG to disclose that report, he has to then satisfy the requirements of 78B, which is after consultation with the Minister and the President. It must be, he can attach restrictions to the report, and also it must be in the interest of national security. So there is that leeway, but we must draw a distinction between disclosure and declassification. We cannot, we can disclose a report. It's actually quite discretionary for the Inspector General, applying those conditions of 78B. But it does not mean that we can declassify the information, because the report is based on information we access from the State Security Agency. So in order for that information to go in its raw form to the public or to any other body, the DG of the State Security Agency would then have to declassify it. So we can disclose and redact and then also provide the PP with a report. But to be honest with you, it might not make much sense, because when it comes to redaction as well, and secondly, very importantly, it is highly discretionary for the IG to then make a determination whether it's in the national interest or not. And added to that, which is the further limitation, Section 10.4 of the Services Act prevents us from disclosing sources and methods. Now, that the bulk of the report deals with sources and methods, which includes names of agents, methods of collection, and methods of the operations of State Security Agency. So that's an added limitation we have with regard to that report. Hence, when it comes to redaction, we have to safeguard and comply with the law in respect of all of this. Now, very importantly, should the IG not comply with Section 7.8 of the legislation, then that is also made a punishable offence. So he can be prosecuted as well if there's no compliance to Section 7.8. And 7.8 is broad, it goes to 7.8A, B, C, and D. C and D deals with information that the Inspector General accesses from persons outside the control of the services. That, in a nutshell, our limitations and the problems we have with regard to disclosure only. Declassification does not reside with the Inspector General. It has to go from the by the DG of State Security.
or the author or the author of the document or the head of an institution where the document may actually be originating. So it may not only be the DG if in fact it was authored, for instance, by somebody else. They may decide in terms of the missed document to actually do that. The last salient point what she mentioned it is that now we are sitting right in between. If you don't comply with yourself, we are committing an offence. If you don't comply with that particular with those provisions, it's an offence also on our side.
Ajif, I can just add, sorry, Pippi. Well, what is crucial though, a lot of the information we access from SARS is not classified. And if you have our report, you'll see there are attachments to the report. They're not classified. But it forms part of the report, and this is very clear. If you report, if a document is classified, then you attach that classification depending on the classification of an annexure. So that is where we stand right now.
Okay. I think one thing which you need to know is that your Zondo Commission, your whoever, they are not constitutional beings. So I think we need to just work in that particular space and be in the same understanding that this is a constitutional institution. And again, you know, this constitution is supreme, more than any legislation, Therefore, there is a justification why the Public Protector should be accessing that particular information. So I think again with the element of the institution also assisting the Public Protector in the investigation, hence I said earlier that we would have expected you to request a report from the minister on our behalf. The very same process which you are indicating that you need to request section 7.8. Be, I think, the commission is, because instead of just responding to us and saying we have the report, but it's the minister's report and these are the sections, instead of saying Public Protector will be doing this and then give us the following time frame for us to do that. I think that's a critical issue which I would appreciate that possibly going forward we can work or assist one another as far as that is concerned. So now the issue of the report, would you disclose the findings of the report and the recommendations to that particular space? Because it was your investigation.
Well, the findings and recommendations are based on the body of the report, and on its own, it might not make sense. However, the whole report
because the Oversight Act only refers to how you deal with the reports.
Yeah.
It doesn't say whether you can disclose the content of the report to the Public Protector.
No, it doesn't mention any particular body in the Oversight Act, but it does deal with how the report is to be disclosed. And 77F says that reports, and it specifically highlights 7.7c, all the functions, and with regards to the monitoring and review functions, it deals with the findings and recommendations.
So you cannot also disclose the findings of the report and the recommendations?
You mean separately, apart from the whole report?
Because now you are assisting the Public Protector in this investigation. I'm just saying, for us to be moving forward on this particular matter. I know we've got another process with the state security agents, but I'm just saying now your assistance to the Public Protector.
Well, whether it's the whole report or whether it's findings and recommendations, we will then have to embark on the process of 7.8b.
Okay.
And then comply with the conditions therein, 7.8b, before we can then disclose the report. However, PP, as I've indicated, the report might be disclosed, but it's not going to be declassified.
Yeah, that is fine. It's not your responsibility, as you've explained. And then who is supposed to implement those recommendations?
It is actually the minister. They see the minister responsible for a particular service. Mm-hmm. So wherever the task may have originated, if it was the police, it was going to be that the trailer. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, it would be Minister Tsiduba who was supposed to implement those recommendations.
Okay. And then the status of the implementation, do you know?
No, to be honest,
that's not
the
role. If I could assist the PPI, over and above it being the minister, he's the referral authority, she is the referral authority, so the recommendations are made to the minister, who should implement it with the DG. But in terms of Section 7.6 of the Oversight Act, we have to report on our functions to the Joint Standing Committee in our intelligence, which is the second layer. We should have a role to play in ensuring the recommendations are implemented. And I recall that after the report was finalized in October 2014, in 2015 we presented that report to the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. And that is the last interaction we had with that report. That was in May 2015. And to date we've heard nothing about the recommendations. What we can say, a lot of the recommendations that are currently in the report have not been implemented.
Mm. And what are you doing about the fact that the same unit is still operational?
Well, we are currently, the Special Operations Unit, we are currently busy with another investigation, but this report largely deals with the Economic Intelligence Unit as well, within the State Security Agency.
Relating to the same rogue unit?
Alleged rogue unit, but it was...
Well, the report is saying there is the one. All the information, as I'm saying to you, that it's so strange that in this country, the way we are operating, the report is now in the public space, but the institutions which are like yourselves, which are supposed to be helping us, you're still bringing all these issues of being constrained by the provisions of the law. Hence, I'm saying, advocate, that the Oversight Act doesn't supersede the Constitution. Therefore, we will request that particular engagement with the advocate, if I get the doctor, because if that is not impending, I don't think it's necessary for one to utilize those hard powers. Because then, if you refuse to cooperate with the public protector, even yourself, I can lodge a criminal offense. Against the doctor, and I don't think we would want to go to that level. So how do we cross this hurdle?
If I could, IG, I think the option would be, because we also have to safeguard the IG being prosecuted in terms of 57A and its own legislation should he not comply with the provisions of 7HB. So I think we could then invoke the process of invoking the condition of 7HB to look at disclosure in terms of that section. Mm-hmm. Through consultations with the President and the Minister and the subsequent restrictions.
Oh, Professor, can I also just mention, by the way of passing, to see that the Inspector General of Intelligence, or the office itself, is also a constitutional body.
Mm.
But then you have two now Acts of Parliament, the Public Protectors Act, as well as the Oversight Act, which establishes these two bodies. So I don't know, people will want to like maybe elucidate further on the levels or the superiority of one legislation against the other. But we appreciate that you are saying that it's not desirable that we should be even looking at the root of invoking the failure to comply with the subpoena and all those other things. And like we are saying, we will be looking at the possibility of following that particular disclosures provision. But what we need to remark also is that in any event, there will be another process that we're going to embark on then, which will be an assessment of the report itself,
mm-hmm.
and to establish whether in fact the disclosure thereof will not compromise national security. So, well, that's actually dependent on, I think, my discretion, but obviously I will be looking at that particular thing. So just so that we satisfy that. The other thing is that we can also subject that particular thing to restrictions, which I don't foresee actually. We've spoken about this, which I don't actually foresee, because like we said, the report is out there already. Maybe can I just find out if the ministry is prepared to assist, because they have more leeway. To be honest, they can only, I think, argue on the basis of Section 10 of 10.4 of the Services Act to say that it exposes the methods and the techniques of intelligence and all those other things. But what I did yesterday again, and I think it's a sign of goodwill, is that I sent the two reports again to the DDG's office as well as to the minister. Again, under the cover, just assisting them, because in fact they approached me saying that they are not able to trace that, and I know that some of the ministers may not really hand over and all those other things, and maybe their history may not be that strong. So that's exactly what I did yesterday, hoping that if we are sitting under these restrictions, maybe the minister may have more leeway in terms of assisting. Because then again, it will defeat the purpose if we go through that particular process in the meantime, delaying your investigation while somebody is actually able to do that.
And I think we can.
Okay. Thank you, Public Protect. I was just looking at Section 78. As you've mentioned, it is discretionary, and it specifically says it can be disclosed in consultation, not necessarily subject to the approval.
After consultation.
So, after consultation. So I just wanted to check, from the date on which the public director sent this letter, was this process started, or you're only going to start it now?
We are only going to start it now.
But if I could assist, the added benefit of obtaining the reports from the State Security Agency is that they have limitations, 10.4 of the Services Act, but also they have the power to declassify. So then it can go out into the public domain. Although the PP has powers to treat certain reports as confidential, etc., etc. So that would be the added advantage of going the SSA route as opposed to the IG. Because after consultation, medically, you don't need the approval.
Okay. I think where I was coming from was if there was that intention to assist the public protector as stated by the Constitution, at least there would have been that attempt, and then you can place that restriction to say public protector, we are giving you this information, but it is subject to you not disclosing it further, or you can place any other restriction. But to start the process now, it doesn't really take the matter.
Because that's, I think what she's coming from is the question which I've said, that instead of just responding to her doctor, and just putting all this legislation, at least for, I appreciated that now you've resent the report, but you should have then indicated to me that, yes, it says after consultation, and then you've initiated the process of consulting with them, whilst in the meantime also advising that these are your limitations. So I think that's the spirit I would want us to work on going forward, instead of just placing the limitations. And I think I was not referring to the Public Protector Act only about the issue of the criminal. Yes, it's provided there, but then that's a constitutional provision directly, that any person or any organization must assist the Public Protector. So I think this, what she's asking is that at least the goodwill going forward, if you can start the process. And I think for now, I would still say you need to start the process so that we can also remove any obstacles on your side going forward, because we might request further information from you, and you'll find that you will have such hurdles. So in other words, is can we test the water? You continue with this process, the classification issue is fine, and again, the Public Protector can issue any report, and there are reports I can't issue because of such issues. So that one is the issue which I will deal with when the time comes and what to avail out there, because even if this report is there in those weekends, it's available publicly. But the fact of the matter is the issue of the classification,
mm-hmm.
and whether I include it in the report or not include it in the report, I think that's a discretion I have to apply. Maybe on this one, let's agree that you can proceed with that process of consulting with them, which it will help you also going forward when we have such requests. In other words, to test the waters, how are they responsive to you on such issues, and then but then if there's no cooperation, we will have to use our hard powers both on them and you, unfortunately, because we will have to this was lodged in terms of the executive members ethics, I think, and it gives me only 30 days. Unfortunately, we've way past that time frame.
PB, if I could assist, we did consult. Mm. The day we received the subpoena, we consulted with the ministry.
Mm.
And we tried to come up with a common way of dealing with this matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a subsequent meeting about 2 days later. And then we heard nothing. And yesterday we provided them with the reports. I can understand from the DG's perspective, because at that time the DG had not received the report from the ministry. So we made it easier for them to provide both bodies with the report.
Mm-hmm.
But we have not spoken to them since last week.
All right. No, I think let's agree that you initiate that process. At least you have that formal approval. In fact, after consultation, because it doesn't say they must approve.
Exactly,
but
after
you consulted with them.
Mm-hmm.
And after you've also applied your mind to those restrictions and the issue of the national interest, I wonder whether that one still applies when the report is out there, that it's to your discretion to apply all those principles. So maybe we can give each other the time frame and then we can constantly communicate. I think the other key issue which I wanted, I think we wrote a letter after that letter, the first letter,
yes.
Where I said to you, can we discuss, especially on the fact that that rogue unit is still operational, whether are you doing anything? So you are saying you've received another complaint,
yes,
but which is investigated from the economic...
No, it's the one we're dealing with now deals primarily with the special operations unit.
Mm.
You must have been reading the papers involving Tulani Lomo. So that is what we've been investigating since July last year, based on complaints we received.
No, but I'm saying about the operations of the resolve unit.
No, not this one.
We
who can lodge the complaint? Because the rogue unit is alleged to be still operating, and there's information which is there, which proves that they are still operating. The issue that those equipments,
mm-hmm.
which are where are they? Were they removed? Were they, because mm-hmm. apparently they are still being utilized, those cameras, were they removed? So who should be lodging the complaint if the minister is not? I think the member of the public can.
Anybody can, but it's members of the public or members of the services. That's section 77 CCAS-A.
Mm.
However, we don't have a mandate of the source.
No, but it's still operating under the gaze of the very same intelligence, which is here. It's still under the same. You don't have a mandate. But that is still operating, meaning your report is not implemented. It's quiet. So what's the use of you being there?
If there is a link between mm-hmm. them, if they are still receiving any kind of assistance from either the SSA, Crime Intelligence, or any of the other three services, then we will be following the activity and not really the organization.
That's what I'm saying, that activity is still
continuing. Yeah, but for now we do not have a complaint on our table which says that it is still operational and that being supported by this and that. In which case, if we do not have that kind of an allegation like it is now, we are unable to investigate SARS because they completely fall outside our mandate. So the link, if the public protector really has any other information which suggests that they are still like receiving any kind of support from the special operations, then we will be able to follow the activity,
okay,
which should be the intelligence activity and not counterintelligence activity.
Not definitely, that's why I'm saying that that intelligence activity is still happening.
Yes.
So what we will do is we'll have to get the all the information.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to write a letter, Mr. Matabu,
yes, ma'am,
officially to the doctor.
Yes, please.
Investigate, because again, who was supposed to say those equipments, and if that report, I think it does provide. So nothing has been done, and people are still continuing as if.
But there were very stringent recommendations made
on that, but nothing. It still means no one bothered to make sure that that is done.
Yeah.
But maybe the minister or whoever, or that. The Joint Standing Committee was supposed to act. Okay, and then the other one is we will also lodge a complaint. I don't know who's investigating. Is it Gauteng or yourselves? That complaint from the lady who was complaining about one member of NIHAO, executive or board member. Just check with the Ms. Nsi whether it was sent to Gauteng. Because there are allegations that the very same non-executive director is using some members to harass her. I mean, using SSA equipment, every information, I mean, illegally tapping her phone and accessing her bank accounts and all those. So I think if we can, we will refer that also officially for you to investigate for us. Because that's a violation of by the SSA members who are you helping private members to harass. I don't know whether that guy is also a member, maybe deployed at NIHAO, because if he's managing to do all those things, we'll have to write a letter and refer it officially to you. Okay.
Advocate, we do have a number of investigations that we are doing on the special operations people. What we realized is that those people were employed and they were reporting directly to the then president through Mr. Tulane Nkomo, who's been recalled from a mission in Japan. It's very, very difficult to contain those people, and they've put the SSA on a corner because some of them actually resigned. What he did is that he will approach your office, get one of your people here and tell them to resign and all those other things, and those people were never engaged permanently by the security agency. So he just left them there. The current management does not have control over them. You still have teams that are mushrooming and doing a complete political collection, which actually is against the law. So we still get those people that you talk to them, and they will tell you exactly, my project was advocating Mukweba, and I had to do this and so forth. They've been paid, others they settled with others until the latest group was November last year. So you still have those people who are not actually reporting to the State Security Agency current management.
So you'll find that even those ones.
Yes. We are counting, last time we counted just in excess of 60.
We've got 60 complainants that we are dealing with, 60. And it's green for us. 60.
Yes.
But we've got the tally, there were actually 186. So we've got 60 complaints. We managed to finalize about 30 of those complaints. But what now, election season is coming up, and yeah, the latest information we've established is that there's another group that is still operating in Gauteng. And they're operating with funds we don't know where they're getting from, because SSA is dealing with the matter. So whilst we're dealing with the complaints, the IG also has the power to self-task. So we've taken it upon ourselves to conduct our own investigation into the special ops. But believe me, these people don't want to talk to, they come to us and complain they're not being paid. They've got no contracts, they're going on promises of permanent employment. They don't want to tell us about their operational activities because they don't trust us. So it's one of those, and these guys are deep undercover. Each of them have like three or four names, so trying to even establish what the right names are, it's very difficult. They see us as well.
And they're spread across organizations. You go to Prasa, you still get them, they're witching there. You go to Transnet, you go to SAPS, they're still witching there. And reporting to this person that we cannot really get our fingers on.
And there's a whole lot of employment of sleeper agents. So there's a lot of people within SAPS as well. I mean, an example is that the lady that employed a SAPS station out of union building. And that alone, she's receiving two salaries. That alone is an offense.
So we do not overrule or outrule any possibility of people harassing others or using them because we just don't know who's doing that. If you go there, last time you remember we had an audit, we wanted to do an audit of equipment that the SSA has. You will cry. You will cry when somebody tells you that in fact we have two different registers, asset registers, and we do not, the other one at logistics does not have a control over this other one. They're even fighting among themselves. Like finance is not, this is mine. Somebody says, no, this asset register is mine, and all those other things. We are talking cars, like we talk about management, that they will tell you that even houses, we do not know the houses that belong to them. Other people have passed, I think those houses, they form part of their estates, they are gone and so forth. It's overwhelming, the things, yeah. Let's hope that, because I know that the panel report is going to be released to public at a particular point, with some reductions and then all these other things.
And we did present on the special ops hearing, very lengthy presentation.
So we don't take those complaints light. When somebody comes and says that I'm being intercepted, even ourselves we are being intercepted, we know for a fact.
But if I could add, PP, your idea about, your inclination that the rogue unit is operating makes perfect sense. Because there's one person that we investigated, which is in the report. We are also investigating her in the special ops, the project control group. So then it's making per, and she was running a unit of 21 people. So it was like we believe it's a continuation of what went on at SARS, but we have no evidence to prove that.
It's worse because with the elections also coming. And besides elections, I mean, SARS is still operating because they must appoint a new SARS commissioner. So now whoever is a potential, then they target. Then they remove you.
They handle quite a number of people. Others were handling judges. Others were specifically providing security. They will be blunted, like you have a problem, maybe somebody will come to my official residence, do something, and I'll go to them. Then they'll put two guys there that I think that they're showing security, but they are there to show and collect. They're telling us that no, you're collecting, we want to see who is in meeting where, what are they discussing, and all those other things. Or they'll provide security as well, to the former acting Hawks head, General Matagata. You give them two guys, and the guys collect. They tell us that no, I was not there to protect them.
And also members of, it was in the news on Sunday that there were members of the public in the ANC Youth League that was being protected by people that Tulani had employed. I'm talking open source now. It was on the Sunday Times. But I mean, that is like the IGN. I looked at that report and I'm thinking, seriously,
but now, the times, where did they get the information?
It was actually it came up from another article last week where five ambassadors were recalled. Five SSA persons were deployed as ambassadors. They were recalled, and then it talked about Tulani Dlomo, who was then very close to the former president. But then on Sunday, it basically says that the minister had written to the president saying that Tlamini Dilma must be recalled to account. Because he apparently employed 40 people who were then protecting Colin Maini and the deputy president of the Youth League and private individuals, but they didn't name, but we know who the private individuals are. It's like it's just developing arms and legs, it's mushrooming, it's getting worse.
And now the challenge is that those are not members.
Pipi, they are so creative in what they call them. They call themselves as co-workers, sources, agents, they come up with sleepers, a whole variety of terms they used to describe themselves. And the worst thing, every single one of them was promised permanent employment by Mr. Lono. Now they're hoping that will then get them a permanent job with a threat that they will go to the media if they don't, if they're not permanently employed. And we are sitting now with that problem.
But SSA is allowed to have the coverage.
Yes.
So now what he did, he didn't put them, because remember they should be on the system as coverage.
There's a special way and it's regulated by the operations directors that they must be in the source index and they must be paid and they have cover companies and that is perfectly legitimate. They were just picked up from all over the place and they had a... They weren't even on the source register. They had like a duplicate internal source register for these people, with all just numbers for us to try and find out who these people are. And you'd ask them, how many names do you have? I've got a couple. I'm not too sure which one SSA used. And they all were given passports and.
It was also a tool of looting. So it was not only a creation of a parallel intelligence structure. What they will do is that you'll have Dinto, who is actually your agent and you're my handler, then you will go and claim 20,000 rand, for instance, and you'll pay me only 10,000. Where do I go to complain? Where do you get the documentation to try and say that, no, you were given 20 or so. So the handler goes into the institution, claims 30,000 rand per month salary, and they only pay these people at 20. Yes. And imagine if it's about 100 people that you're talking about.
100,000 for Jiba and 20,000 for in a bag. Whether did she receive it? Yeah. That's another story.
In a bag. That case was cracked in Zimbabwe, where there was actually a. In that instance, it was actually very painful because the person was given, I think, a fraction
of
what they kept on claiming for.
And it's sad, and we also have an example. Out of the 185, we've only established about 32 actually had contracts. And some of the contracts were open-ended, so it was basically called in, put on the system, no contracts, not the one to go to court, based on what. And there were also a couple instances where the people were suspended, but the handler was still collecting salaries and pocketing 25,000 in a month. So
at least they were using that money they stole them.
Yes.
And it's a lot of people.
At the SSA, remember that money? Possibly that's what they're using.
But there are places overseas where you get a building stashed with cash.
It's called a compound.
Yeah, the compound. It's still existing. You get people who say, I just visited
the class. From the movie.
You know, the SSA also has a provision where you take monies, because you've got to pay your sources.
No, definitely, okay. Yeah.
So basically, and they go in diplomatic bags, which remains undetected, so you can be taking out millions. And we're not talking rands here. We're talking pounds and dollars.
And euros, No, but that is, they are supposed to do that. The proper one.
Exactly, if there's compliance. And now we're looking at compliance with the law and constitution, and we're thinking, I don't even think these guys even know about the existence of the operation directors, because there was total non-compliance. But
I think some way you can get a record, because the person who was masterminding this, if you had so many people, you should be having records some way to know Mukhaladi is there, Matabohele, and this how much.
But you must see, the records.
They should be having, tell me that maybe in
after Tulani, Tulani left, when he was deployed, and the former IG, DG came in, a lot of records are destroyed as well.
Shredded.
Shredded.
One Friday afternoon, we get an SMS. I get an SMS quickly from an anonymous person saying that, in fact, they left one of the gates open, they called the East Gate at the farm. And that documents were being taken out. we go there quickly and try to do whatever, and then you get a lot of political mingling. Mm-hmm. You get a call from parliament, yeah. Being accused of raiding a place. And I said, but I'm responding to an anonymous message, which is that papers are being shredded, others are being taken out of a gate.
Yeah.
They go to the security guard at that gate and say, you can knock off, go home.
And they comply with the law, because our law makes it very clear, you give notification in writing for entry into the premises. They gave them 24 hours.
24 hours.
It's a stupid provision as far as we're concerned.
Yeah,
it takes away the element of surprise.
Yeah.
And we gave them, even after giving them 24 hours notice, you must see the barriers. We had to go like 2 days afterwards to be able to execute that. It's not even a search. We're entitled to do it. Mm-hmm. But it was...
And then I was like... attacked at a particular point. I just went through, I told myself that no, I have to. But my team went anyway, did that work. But you can imagine the kind
so
of
they destroyed information.
Yeah.
On two levels, after Tulani left, a lot of his people have just been sitting at home. Okay, so there were records destroyed there. Then when Fraser left, there was further records destroyed.
In fact, the office manager then gets also caught.
I remember,
and
yeah.
And
yeah,
the
yeah.
gang also tried.
The matter is still being investigated.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently, they are at the stage where they're about to begin the disciplinary processes. But that's been taking it's been going for
a
long
year.
So we are just scratching on the surface.
Yeah,
if they put you there, you also get overwhelmed. I mean, if you talk to the current management, they're just overwhelmed with that. They know that they will never ever get to the bottom of this. You only like catch those ones with bad luck, you know, but the rest of the guys, no.
And hence, PP, it's my job to check the IG. So
yes.
Even if we go 7-8 route, we have to be very careful on how we implement, especially with regard to Section 10 for sourcing methods. Because trust me, if we do not do it in compliance with this, not yourself, people out there will be charging the Inspector General. Because we're not a very popular office.
You want to go to the Hawks, like for instance, no. Because every time we investigate, make recommendations, investigate, it comes again back to the table. This issue about the Rock unit, I mean, it's a 2014 or so investigation. We shouldn't be dealing with this issue now, to be honest. If there was consequences attached to these actions. There were findings made and so forth. If there was a, because it's a criminal offense, there was the Intelligence Act to actually establish, only the president can establish.
It was a contravention of the Constitution as well.
It's only the president and nobody else. And he also has to follow some of the steps. It's not like he just wakes up and say that, that unit is going to become an intelligence unit now, have the capacity to capabilities to actually collect. But it's happening. You have a minister who's sitting Makubai complaining then that there were cameras
in the office.
People were actually aware of what was happening, and was that equipment should be, but you go there, they take that, or now we don't know where our equipment is. We don't know.
But
during the elections, they bought something very expensive. It was like multi-million rands. I think it's about 23 million rand or so.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a warmonger. Now, a warmonger.
Oh, is the IP was trying to investigate?
That's something else. A warmonger is like a person. You stand up when you operate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a computer, you know, and all those other things. You need to be about, they said about 6 or 7 kilometers away from your target place.
Mm.
So if they wanted to crack like the computers or listen to us and so forth, just 6.
Mm.
It could be at the Brooklyn police station or even at the mall, they will still get here. Now, this particular equipment disappears from the State Security Agency with all the security there. And our argument is that you cannot have that you that person was using a bike.
And it's not a small thing. It's
not a small thing. It's a huge thing. That's why I'm emphasizing that it's like a person standing up.
Mm.
It disappears and so forth, and no one is worried about it. After Nasrec, it reappears.
Yeah. And this has got nothing to do, because you see the challenge IFED is having to get information declassified from SAPS.
Yeah.
They're going to court for it.
Yeah.
So we are sitting with a similar problem. And we always tell the IG, we will never know what we don't know. Because if you're sitting with 2 registers or 3 registers, asset registers, etc., etc., we can go and ask for an asset register and it's like all legitimate. We don't know what else is there.
Mm.
So
you go there, you get a trailer. Mr. Moon was telling me that they got a trailer there with an equipment, even like with cameras and so forth, no serial numbers, no nothing. Okay. No one knows when it was purchased.
Yeah.
All what they know is that this is in the yard, so it means that it belongs to the state security agency.
The problem is the COVID funds, because they don't really account for it, and they've also prevented the AG from having access to it by dragging us into
that
it.
They drag us into it. That,
so
the COVID funds.
Okay,
all right. Now all the best in that, but I think irrespective of all that, we need to work together and support each other wherever we can, in our small ways. We will defeat this monster, so let's also not allow things which we think they will threaten us or they'll stifle our work to allow them to be our key focus.
Yeah.
How do we make sure that irrespective of that, but we're moving forward and dealing with those? Because, I mean, if we still have this monster, because it's another monster, that will be me. You cannot have this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, SSA has its own mess and challenges, but now let's make sure that we don't spread the mess which is there out there. Because it means if all departments can also continue doing that. And unfortunately is that the main thing is that we need to be protected from foreign intelligence.
Yeah.
So it means they are doing, they are having a field day in this country.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
All right, so it could be the time.
Thank you. Oh, we're going to talk about
the time. When can we get it from your side? Maybe let's hear from you. Because you've already started engaging them.
Yeah, we did engage with the public ministry. So what we're going to do, I'm going to follow it up.
You can just say you met, we request from you, and your 7AB requests you to do this.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah. Because after consultation, we don't need the approval of the... But it says and, you see, so we have to go both from the minister and president.
Okay.
But we are testing that provision right now.
That's why I'm saying that.
Which is brilliant. We are testing that provision. We're currently in the busy of writing letters for the Mahura Commission. Because that provision has only been utilized once, and that was in 2006.
During the massacre investigation.
Yeah, the Obama investigation.
Okay. When?
Can we request 2 weeks, please?
10 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 working days.
Mm. Yeah. You see, the IG is going to be in Cape Town next week.
Yeah.
It will be the 14th.
Mm.
It doesn't stop.
Valentine's Day.
Even if the IG is in Cape Town, sure, the IG has an.
I'll be here.
I do have.
In Parliament.
On the
18th
floor, where the
ministry is sitting. I'll start working on it today with the ministry. And also, I would like to gauge their attitude regarding your
situation. That's what I'm saying,
Because we were trying to, Daji and I were discussing yesterday, they're very quiet, we don't know how they're approaching this appeal.
What time is it?
It's not the same time as this.
Are they here? Can you check with them?
Yeah, but the subpoena at 10 o'clock as well.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, PP and colleagues.
Okay, thanks, Dr.
February.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.